Okay. We had just finished up the main point of Sif Vav, which is very Nugel Maisa and Yonim that come up nowadays, as we pointed out. There's just one discussion that was a side point to Sif Vav, that was in the Shas Sukkot Chaf Beis, but that I wanted to chazer, because there's very, very Yesodistic issues that come up in that one point, some of which will have a lot of mitzvah ramifications that we'll bring up a little later in the next siman and quite a few simanim later. So here we have the question of the Torah. The Torah says like this. The Torah says we know that something's only ben yomo within 24 hours. So says the Torah. If, let's take a clock. Let's say, here's the case that I don't think is controversial, if I am keeping track of things correctly. Let's say you have M Monday, 9 o'clock, you cook meat in the pot. And then Monday at 18 o'clock, you cook water. Water is not that, it just means part, right? You put part in the pot, right? I don't think it makes any difference if it's not the water. Just means you put part. If you cook meat in the pot, then it would be just new meat, right? Be more recently slashed. If you put milk in the pot, it would be oiva voicha. You cook part, so far you haven't done anything bad. Then, Tuesday at 11 o'clock, you cook milk. Now, there's no question that this pot is in trouble. Because this pot, at the very least, for the beliefs of meat and milk, whether ben yomo or not ben yomo, and the pot is not a good pot anymore, the question is the milk treif or not? So what's the halacha? Is the milk treif or not? No. The milk is...
What's the psak?
The milk is kosher. Why is the milk kosher? Because from here to here is not locked. No thing on those gums. It's more than 24 hours. You'll notice it was even 26 hours if you're good at math. You say, but from this water became fleshic and it's only been 17 hours.
In the same direction.
But no, this water, what's the status of this power food you cooked? Is that power food really fleshic? What constantly applied? What?
Not for not.
It's not for not. So we say, hold on a second, that food that you cooked for dinner Monday night, that was not for not. You can't take that into account. That's worthless. The only thing that was really fleshic was 26 hours ago. So you had not for not in between, but not for not as part. You haven't cooked fleshic for over 24 hours, mutter. That is the non-controversial part of the tour. What is the more controversial part? The more controversial part is this. What if at Monday at 9 o'clock you cook treif? Then Monday at 18 o'clock. Sorry, I hope you've been in Israel long enough to know there is such a thing as an 18 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock p.m. At 18 o'clock, you cooked, you know, water, which means just powder, et cetera, you know, or pretty much any food. And then Tuesday at 11 o'clock, you cooked kosher food, right? Now, what happens in this case? What does the Torah say? Says the Torah. Treif. Says the Torah treif. Red is Torah. Says the Torah treif. What does the Beis Yosef say? Okay, hopefully. What is the Beis Yosef? The Torah says trace. Oh, why does the Torah say trace? The Torah will be read, right? Why does the Torah say trace? The Torah says, obviously it's been more than 24 hours since you cooked the trace. But, says the Torah, what was the status of this horrid food that you cooked last night for dinner? Not bar not the Isura. Not bar not the Isura. Which is... trace. So therefore, what do you mean? You cooked trace 17 hours ago, it's a problem. So says the Torah.
However, what does the Beis Yosef say? The Beis Yosef argues. The Beis Yosef says no. The Beis Yosef says that what's the status of this water or food? He says, for Sfardim, what is that water, what is that food that you cooked Monday night not according to Sfardim? It's not. For Tashmazim, it is according to Sfardim, it's not. What does Sfardim and Ashkenazim argue if you would then cook kosher food and got the bleakest of trace? Well, the rough principle applies. Louder. Louder with self-confidence.
Hanan.
Right? Remember, this food, it has a blea of trace. Ashkenazim would say it became Hanan, Sfardim would say it's not Hanan. For Sfardim, it's not Hanan. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, this food is kosher. Why? Because Monday dinner was not Hanan. And since Monday breakfast, it's no same time lifgam. So says the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef, he doesn't know what the Torah is talking about. After all, Monday dinner was not Hanan according to Sfardim, and the Torah himself, even though he was, well, I think it's Sfardim. According to Sfardim, Monday dinner was not Hanan. If Monday dinner was not Hanan, then Monday dinner was the problem. So if Monday breakfast, that was the problem. It's been 24 hours, so says the Beis Yosef. Now,
doesn't matter if there's diesel in the middle. Why is it interest of
Hanan? Okay, that's exactly the Shach's problem. Says the Shach to the Beis Yosef. Now there's a question on the Beis Yosef. Question on Beis Yosef. I feel this slight suspicion that I might have to rewrite this before in order to clarify things once we get all the acronym in. But first, let's see the question on the Beis Yosef. The question on the Beis Yosef is, who cares if it's Hanan or not Hanan? Either way, there's trace there, right? So says the Shach, says the Shach, even if Monday dinner is not Hanan, it's still full of trace bleos, right? It's not bottle. Remember, this pot and Monday breakfast got full of trace bleos. So we all know the pot's always more than a 60th of the food you're going to cook, right? So therefore, for sure those trace bleos are not bottled. And Monday dinner, maybe it's not Hanan, but it's full of trace bleos, right? And Monday dinner is still full of trace tam, right? You're right, it didn't turn Hanan. It's still full of trace tam, even if it itself is not Hanan, right? And it's only been 17 hours since you cooked that trace tam. Meaning, who cares if it was Hanan or not? So it wasn't Hanan, fine. Let's say for Monday dinner, what did you cook? You cooked noodles, fine. The noodles themselves did not turn into molecules of iser. The noodles were just full of pork paste in them. But the pork taste is still iser. So it has been 17 hours since trace noodles. But it's been 17 hours since trace pork taste in the noodles. So why isn't that just as that? That's the Shach's question. What are the answers? One, says the Shach. He says, Beis Yosef is wrong. That's why he rejects the Beis Yosef. He says Beis Yosef didn't know what he was talking about, and the Torah is right all along. Beis Yosef, he said, Beis Yosef forgot about Naparnati Yisura. He forgot that Naparnati Yisura is trace. Who cares about Hanan or not? Beis Yosef, basically, he accuses Beis Yosef, tell me if I'm using the popular terminology correctly. He accuses Beis Yosef of making a rookie mistake. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
I didn't know what
we're referring to. What? Okay. Yeah. He said, you, Beis Yosef, you got so confused. You said, well, there's no Hanan, and forgot that. Regardless of whether or not there's Hanan, not for not the Yisur's trace, and there's still trace Leos there. So,
That's what he says. Beis Yosef just got confused. Beis Yosef didn't know what he's talking about. Beis Yosef forgot basics of halacha. And that's what he accused Beis Yosef of. Hard to imagine that Beis Yosef really made such a mistake. So all the later are going to come and find really, really good ways to defend Beis Yosef, Taka. How do you defend Beis Yosef? Anyone want to try to defend Beis Yosef? Why? Just because there's no Hanan, does that all of a sudden make Tuesday morning's lunch kosher? Still been 17, that's less than 24, 17 hours since cooking pork paste. So there are two main answers in the Mefarshim. What are the two main answers in the Mefarshim? One is on the page, the Dag Omer Vava. Says the Dag Omer Vava, he says a very clever answer for the Beis Yosef. You ready for a very clever answer? And this is actually, like, this kind of logic we'll see will come up again in the beginning of the next siman, in the Pesachei Tshuva. I think the first thing, the second Pesachei Tshuva, I forget. And we'll see, it'll come up a few times in practical shaylos. He says, kacha. Let's assume, everyone knows that the food is never 60 times as big as the pot. But let's imagine, how much bigger is the food inside than the pot? Pick a number. Let's just estimate using your guess. I'm not expecting you to be right. Right? Clearly, the soup inside is not 60 times the volume of the pot itself. How many times is it times the volume of the pot itself? Take a guess. Doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Take a guess.
10 to 20.
10 to 20. Let's call it, for the sake of argument, 10 times. Let's say, it's probably more than that. It's probably 20. Let's say the soup is 20 times the size of the pot. It's not 60, it's 20. Wouldn't make a difference. You could say 8, you could say 9, you could say 20, you could say 30. It'll work out the same. Now, what does the Dag Omer Vava say? Very clever. He says, this is what the Beis Yosef meant. He says, if you're Ashkenazim, who have Hanan B'Shari Surin, or Sfardim, who don't have Hanan B'Shari Surin, what's the difference? If here we have Monday at 18 o'clock, according to Ashkenazim, let's say the pot holds 200 ounces, and the pot itself is 10 ounces, okay? That was 20, the upper of Eli's range, right? Now, according to the Ashkenazim, how much of Monday's dinner is traced? How many ounces? According to Ashkenazim of Hanan. Well, that's easy. If there's Hanan, how many ounces of it are traced? All of it, which is 200, right? You have 200 ounces of trace. But according to Sfardim, you don't have Hanan. How much of it is traced? Well, let's assume worst case scenario. The pot itself is full of trace to the gills and it all went into the noodles. Worst case scenario, how much of it is traced? 10 ounces, right? Maximum 10 ounces of trace, right, which is a 20th, right? Right? 1/20th of the food. Now let's think about it. Excuse me for a second. Says the Dag Omer Vava, says very cleverly. So this is from pot into food. Then what happens? Monday at 18 o'clock, the taste goes back from the food into the pot, right? Whenever you cook, it goes from the pot into the food, then back from the food into the pot. Now, how much of the pot, meaning all trace, how much of the pot goes back and becomes trace, according to the Ashkenazim? So the pot is all trace, right? 10 ounces. Right? Why? The food becomes Hanan all trace, it goes back and makes the pot all trace. According to the Sfardim, what happens to the pot, the food is now 1/20th trace. If the food is 1/20th trace, then if it goes back into the pot, how trace should it make the pot? Well, that's what he says. We'll see cheshbon. Whatever percentage of the food is trace, that's what percentage of the pot it can make trace. So it can only make the pot, maximum, 1/20th of the pot can be trace. Why? Only 1/20th of the pot can get a new time of trace. Because if you have a mixture, it's 1/20th trace. It can only make the pot 1/20th trace.
After all, according to Ashkenazim, 95% of these noodles are kosher. Only 5% of them are trace taste. So why should only the trace part of the noodles go back into the pot? It should go proportionally into the pot. This is what's called, lefi cheshbon. What happens? Only 1/20 of the pot gets trace, which means, what's 1/20 of the pot? 1/2 ounce of fresh trace taste is in the pot. Now what happens when you cook your Tuesday lunch? It goes from the pot to the food, so now it's very easy. According to Ashkenazim, the ratio on Tuesday lunch is 1/20, and therefore it's trace. That's because they say Chanan. But for Sfarim, we don't say Chanan. What's the ratio? The ratio is 1/400, right? There's only 1/2 ounce of trace in the pot, and that's going into 200 ounces of food. And therefore, it's kosher. Basically, another way to say this is, whatever the ratio of the pot to the food is, that square is going to be what you end up with trace on Tuesday morning. So this is based on a logical Tosin, the Kofan Beis, if you ever got a chance to learn that very long Tosin. Let's review how the Dogma Rebava defends Beis Yosef. Says the Dogma Rebava that Beis Yosef is right, because if there's no Chanan, then the taste only transfers proportionally, which means lefi cheshbon. Lefi cheshbon means proportionally. That's the word. Lefi cheshbon means proportionally. It doesn't mean in accordance with math. And therefore, trace is batel b'shishim. You see, Eli, how even if it was an eighth, it still would have worked, because it would end up 64th. A seventh wouldn't have worked. An eighth would have worked. Then it's never going to be a seventh. Let's chazer again. How he defended the Beis Yosef. Very brilliant. He just says, very cautious. What happened in this case? Let me just clarify a little more. What happens on Tuesday morning, according to Beis Yosef? The Ben Yomo taste of trace is maximum 1/400, right? From Monday dinner. Can't be more than 1/400. Because even if all the trace went into Monday's dinner, it only made it a 20th trace. And if even all that, and then if that taste went back to the pot, it only made the pot a 20th trace. Now the pot is a 20th trace. But if the pot is a 20th of the food, and the pot itself is only a 20th trace, and that's a 400th trace, and it's batel b'shishim, and the taste remaining in pot from Monday breakfast is eino ben yomo. That is the Dogma Rebava. The Dogma Rebava says the Shach falsely accused the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef knew what he was talking about. What he meant was that if you would say Hanan, then everything would keep being traced and you would never have a small ratio. But once far you don't say Hanan, then only part of the pot becomes trace. And think about it this way, right? I have a trace pot. I cook noodles. For Sfardim, the noodles are only a 20th trace. So now, hold on. Whatever pot is, whatever taste didn't leave the pot Monday morning, Monday evening, is going to get eino ben yomo. The only thing that would answer is taste that left the pot Monday evening came back. But how much taste did come back? Only a 20th. So the pot is a 20th trace, and then when you cook breakfast on Tuesday, 1/400th, again, all you need is a 1:8 ratio, then it would be 1/64th, and it would work. And everything is kosher. That is the pshat of Dogma Rebava. That's probably the best pshat in the Beis Yosef. So the Shach would go with the Tor, and the Dogma Rebava would go with the Beis Yosef. So let us just... and the Poskim assume, even though the Shach thinks he is a kasha of the Beis Yosef, the Poskim assume that the Dogma Rebava is mistama correct.
That's only according to the Sfarim.
Correct. Only according to the Sfarim. Correct, only according to the Sfarim. So let us... No, he's just theoretically defending Beis Yosef. He's not positive.
Yeah, but doesn't have much more on the bottom line.
It would have much force for like a different case that you can imagine if you could find some other case. Or might have a nafkamina, perhaps you might come up with a nafkamina in that case. Where would be another case you'd have a nafkamina? We'll see, for example, a parallel case in the, I think the first was a tshuva, if I'm not mistaken, in Siman Tzadik Hei. Okay, so this is the first inyan that were at the end of Sitvah. There's also Prichadash, but maybe we will... skip that for now. If anyone wants to, they can look it up inside and see how he defends the Beis Yosef. I think we're ready to go on to some inside. It says Sif Zayin. El. Okay, Sif Zayin. Basar roteach. Shechad cho besakin choleves. Broiling hot meat, that you cut with a milchik knife, kol hachaticha asura, is all treif. If you cut it with a milchik knife, it is all treif. In a bashishim b'nei mosakin, obviously, it's not all treif. If the sakin is 1 ounce and the meat is 100 ounces, it can't all be treif. It means, if it's not 60 times the knife, then it is all treif. what do we mean by the knife? So here we have machlokes, shach and taz, which is very parallel to the machlokes shach and taz we have at the very beginning of the simon. It seems to be the same machlokes shach and taz at the beginning of the simon. What do you mean by the whole knife? Says the shach that it means whatever part of the knife you use to cut the meat. That's, everyone agrees. What's machlokes? Same as, I think, the very first shach and taz in our simon, perhaps. What if you say you remember how much the knife you used to cut the meat? Do we believe you or not? So the Marashal Lataz say, no, you have to measure against any part of the knife that someone might stick in the meat. Because we don't trust you to pay attention to remember how much of the knife you used to cut the meat, because most of the Ramulele Inish Labadaitin, because anything you didn't think was important, you didn't pay attention to. So here you have the same Achlok as Lataz and Marashal say, you have to measure connected the whole knife, or at least however much of the knife you normally use to cut your steak, let's say the blade, to measure against the whole blade. The shah says, no, if you remember, you only use half the blade, then we trust your memory. So it's the same machlok as the beginning of the simon. The Hisrei Tshuva at the beginning of the simon said it could be that when Yimsak, even if it will be Mako like the shah here, because it's only Shaivas Rabbanan, because you didn't actually cook meat and milk, you only cut it. We might be machmir like the Taz and the Marashal and says Alice. Okay, halacha maisa, either way, of course, not 100% clear. But the same machlok is lish. Shitah say Taz and Marashal say we don't trust your memory. Shach says we do. Now let's get back to the ekronos. One of the ikaron, the Shach points out in Sukkot Mechav Hey that we don't use the rule of Tata Gavar here, meaning we don't ask whether the knife was on top or whether the meat was on top, etc. Because here we have a factual duchka de sakina. This might be the first time we've encountered duchka de sakina. Not sure. Duchka de sakina means the pressure of cutting with a knife adds to the power of the blia. And therefore, he says, you know, the pressure of the cutting of the knife, it doesn't matter if the tata'a was cold or the ilah was cold, or the tata'a was hot, the ilah was hot. Either way, once you have duchka de sakina, it makes the blia go through the whole piece. The more interesting discussion is, well, let's take it back a second. Hakawa is the din. This din is not clear in Shas. As a matter of fact, I don't think the Gemara ever explicitly discusses cutting a hat. The Gemara does discuss warm. But I'm discussing hat, meaning Yad Soledis, right? The Gemara does not discuss cutting hot meat with a trace knife or hot meat with a milchik knife. That's not found anywhere in Shas. So, the Rishonim are mesupen about this. The Torah brings down from Rabbeinu Peretz that what's the din, if you cut hot, again, I don't mean warm, meat with a milk knife, or here, any, where's the bagel? Milky knife, that's what the British people say. You have to know the answer, Shilas, from British people. They say milky kalim and meaty kalim. In America, they say milchik and fleshik kalim. I don't know. Do you guys all say milk and fleshik kalim in America? Okay. In Israel, they say bisari and chalavi. In England, they say milky and meaty.
So let's say you cut hot meat with a milky knife. So the Torah calls a yesh omrim, that it's only aser kidei klipa.
It's only aser kidei klipa. The Rabbi Kiva Eger, there's none in the Torah, but Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes from the Rashba. The Rashba, the Torah, Savai, Sa'orach, Kasav, Mekol Malkam, Sakam, Chuli, and Chod, Bodav, Acham, Otsno, Charif, Ke'esrot, Ikman, the Reklipa, Mahani, the Ikman, the Rentila, Boy, Zeus, Far, Sarayvid, Ad, Kan, Lit, Shono. Right? So the Rayvid quoted in the, and the Rashba seems to agree with him, say, it's Usher, Kidin, Netiva. However, being a parent, and the tour, and the Machaber says that it's all usher.
And here, the Shach in Sukkot Mechav Zayin wonders, why is it all usher? After all, is this Bishul or is this Tzli? Is this within the realm of Bishul or Tzli? What does it mean, Bishul and Tzli, Wagner? Bishul and Tzli. Right, whether it's soaking in liquid or not. When it soaks in boiling liquid, that makes the tam penetrate further, because the liquid penetrates it. So here, obviously, if we're dealing with the realm of bishul or kli,
Jesus.
No, but what's it closer to? You're cutting a steak with a knife. That's like bishul or like kli. Kli, right? There's no like gravy here. You're just cutting salad with a salad. So ask the Shah. Shah says, sorry, forget about the hugover, you hugover. I forgot about that. But just in terms of bishul and kli,
ask the Shah. Says the Shach,
why does it have to be similar to one of them? It's not similar to either of them. It's a special gunabduch to the Sakina.
Oh, you're cheating. You're giving us the answer already. Okay. The Shach asks, why not just Kidei Netila like all three?
Certainly you should at least have a Havamina,
that if there's a realm of soaking in liquid and a realm of dry, this is the realm of dry. And the Shach gives three answers, one of which is the one that's accepted by the Achronim. What's the main answer? Zev tells us, obviously, what's the main factor here?
Zev, the main answer is Dukka Disakina. The pressure of cutting with a knife makes the Vliya go farther than it would otherwise.
That's the main answer that's accepted by the leader of Cronin. They assume, meaning this Kumra, that Dukkah Sakina makes the Tam go further than it would otherwise.
He gives two other answers also, which is, if you remember, in Tzli, when something's fatty, it penetrates the whole thing. So he said it could be that the butter in the knife is shumming.
We'll see. That in the end of this, him and the Shach's not going to like that. That you can really call something shumming if it's just nibbling to a kli. This maybe to the butter knife is shumming, or maybe it's some kind of case where the meat is shumming. So send there's your kingdoms. Maybe it's not just a not milking knife. It's a knife that has that fatty butter in it, and that would count as fat. Or maybe it's not just a stomp piece of meat, it's fatty meat. But that's the mainstream answer. The Achronim assume, as Pasha Pshat and Machaber, is the Shach's first answer. The whole Kiddush of Siv Zayin is to tell us Duch and Zakina is different than when there isn't Duch and Zakina. Duch and Zakina makes the Blias go further than they would normally. Okay, let us continue then. Let's read again. It's all Usher. Why is it all Usher? According to the way most of them wrote, the first answer of the Shach, because duk and the sakina makes, even if there's no gravy, even if there's no soup, it makes the tam go through the whole thing. And not only that, the Shach points out, it also makes us not care whether the law is hot or the tata is hot, doesn't make a difference. As long as something's hot, and there's duk and sakina, that's helping it straight up. Maybe shishim getting machem asakin. If there's not shishim getting machem asakin, shechatech abasar, if their meat is not 60 times the size of the part of the knife that was used to cut the meat, which is usually the blade, and again, the Taz would say, regardless of what you say, we need 60 times the whole blade. And the Shach would say, if you remember, you only used half the blade, we trust your memory. Avol Eino Ben Yomo, that's if the knife is Ben Yomo, right? If the knife is Ben Yomo, then the knife could treif off the meat, because no same time le shvach. Aval ein yod ben yomo. What if the knife is not ben yomo? Om ein yodeya shu ben yomo. Or you don't know if the knife is ben yomo. Here he's being merames to important klal that is explicit in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kof Chaf Beis. What important klal is he merames to? He says that if it's not ben yomo, basically if it's not ben yomo, then there's no problem, right? Because any time in the knife is time with God. Or if you don't know if it's ben yomo, it's also okay. What's the klal here? Why does it say if you don't know if it's ben yomo, it's okay? The klal, stam kalim, stam with any kli is not ben yomo. If you don't know, you assume any kli is not ben yomo. Why? We'll get to it in some kof days. But it's a rule, whenever you don't know, you assume it's ben yomo. I mean, you honestly don't know. Now that you hide your head in the sand, and it's obvious it wasn't ben yomo. But, you know, if obviously 90% odds it was ben yomo, because everyone's using them all, the kalim, all the time, then that's called you know. But if you mamish just have no way of knowing, have mamish a sotik ha-shakel, an open-ended sotik, then you assume it's not ben yomo. Okay, so what if the knife is not ben yomo, or you don't know, so we assume it's not ben yomo, like most of our knives. Like, what if we, in our kitchen, take a milchik knife and cut a hot, boiling, broiling steak, and we don't know when the last time we used the milchik knife is, which might be the common occurrence, then, ain't no oser ella today klipa. Ain't no oser ella today klipa. Let's just chazer for a second. What happens in?
Why is it
oser altogether? So there's an assumption here that we're not quite sure, this is not a matter of Nishana Teva science, it's just a matter of culture and society. There's an assumption here that in our culture, in our society, does not seem to be true anymore, but there's an assumption in the postkin, it's in Rashi already, and Rashi already says it in Tapda, Kufdud, Be'ezam, and Aleph, and Chulin. And then it goes to all the Rishonim, all the Achronim. There's an assumption that Stam knives are dirty. In their days, they didn't keep their knives clean. I'm not sure why. Maybe if anyone here, maybe a bit of an amateur historian, could figure out why the postman seems to assume stamp pots are clean, stamp plates are clean, but stamp knives are dirty.
I thought it might have been because their knives were serrated.
I doubt their knives were serrated. I don't think their knives were serrated. They sharpen their knives all the time. You can't sharpen a serrated knife on a knife block. You can only sharpen a pasha knife. So I don't think they were serrated. It's a good question. Even our serrated knives we managed to keep pretty clean. I'm not sure why their knives were dirty all the time. It could be just because since they used them all the time, they didn't bother to clean them. Maybe their knives were so sharp they didn't want to start cleaning them too often because they might cut themselves. I have no idea. Someone has to do historical research and know more than I do and figure out why in the old days their knives were dirty. But that's an assumption in the postgim. So what's the assumption here? Theoretically, what if you would have a... Here, let us... let's do this case again. Cut hot meat with a milky knife, okay? Now, what if the knife was ben yomo, or knife is not ben yomo, or stam? The stam is not ben yomo. Let's call it not so great. What's the din? If the knife was ben yomo, then what do we say? What do you think of the status of the knife? Doesn't tell us this yet, but he's going to tell us this in a few seconds. The knife is tricked. What do you have to do to kash the knife? Knife needs hagala. And the meat is usher unless it's 60 times the knife.
Knife needs hagola or
legal? The knife needs hagola. This is a good idea. What is Dev asking? I don't know if we actually officially sold it this year, but we know just from being Jews that if you use a tray cleat for cooking and water, it needs hagola. If you use a tray cleat for roasting on a fire, it needs libun. This knife doesn't need libun. Why? Because the chorah we're talking about where the meat wasn't still on the fire. It was off the fire. Once you take a baking or broiling or grilling food off the fire and cut it with a knife, then it only needs hagala. The chumrah of leaven is only on the barbecue. If you take steak off the barbecue and use it with kalim, they only need hagala, which makes sense. If your kli wasn't actually used on the fire, it shouldn't need leaven. So here we're talking about, it's clear from the Ramah, we're talking about where you're not cutting it on the barbecue. Then it would have to be more of a problem. You're cutting it off the barbecue on the tray. Then
If you're cutting an awesome barbecue, then Hagolah is up. The knife means Hagolah, the meat is awesome with a six knife. The knife, the reason I put quotation marks around the knife is because only the part of the knife that touched it, which is controversial. What if the knife was not Ben Yomel? Then, this is not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, but theoretically, well, what do you think happens to the knife if it's not Ben Yomel? So the knife is tris. Why? Because it was a milky knife, now I've got a blade of meat. Why did I put quotation marks around the word trace? Ellie, why did I put quotation marks around trace?
Because it's not Ben Yomel, so it's not gum.
Right, it's not actually trace, because it was never bosser b'chol, because it was not with gum, but it's milky and fleishet, so you can't use it, and our minhag is not to use it at all. Okay, but what about the meat? So the meat here, this is not in the Shulchan Aruch. If the knife was clean, then the meat is kosher. Why do I say that? Well, if the knife was clean, then there's no shmutz on the knife. Whatever's inside the knife is no sin hamlof ga'am, so of course the meat has to be kosher. Why is that not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch? Because in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, stam knives were dirty. Pretty sure in our days, stam knives are clean. Because we wash them every time we use them. Every time we use a knife, we put it in the sink and we wash it. But in their days, they didn't do that. They kept their knives dirty. Again, I'm not sure why. I'm sure there's a good historical explanation that some historian knows. So, what's the case in Shulchan Aruch? Case of the Shulchan Aruch. If the knife was dirty, this answers Zev's question. Zev says, if the knife is Ben Yomel, why should it trace up the meat at all? The answer is because in the early days the knives were dirty. And therefore, the knife can't trace off the meat. Because the knife is no sin tam with God. But the schmutz on the knife can trace off the meat. The rule of 24 hours only applies to bleas inside the kli. The rule of 24 hours doesn't apply to schmutz. The schmutz on the knife is no sin tam with shvach. Then, what do we say? That lechor is absolutely incorrect. Zilka Sakina is whatever's being pressed. You don't think the lichlus is being pressed? Bleos in the knife are no thing tam lisgah. But the schmutz, the lachluchis on the knife is no thing tam lishvach. That's the assumption. The postgame is taka amachlokis versus most Rishon LeRaivin. We'll get to. But the assumption of the post is that when we say after 24 hours there's no thing timeless gum and it's not going to trace our food, bleos inside the food. But if you schmutz on a clean, even after 24 hours it might be good. After all, we have lots of foods that are good after 24 hours. Not all, it all depends on the circumstances, but lots of foods are good after 24 hours. Therefore, you may have a salami, you let it sit for 24 hours, it's still good. So schmutz of a salami on your knife, and you let it sit for 24 hours, it'll also be good. Right? You have a cheese. There's a milk in the next, right? I don't mean like our cheese that you keep in the fridge. You know, real hard cheeses that you don't keep in the fridge. So if you let the cheese sit for 24 hours, it's good. So if there's cheese schmutz on your knife and you let it sit for 24 hours, it's also a good taste. What's the problem? So, therefore, the left loose on the knife is no sense harmless schmutz. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Meat is aser kidei klipa. Now we have a question. Why is the meat aser kidei klipa? Like, what's the special rule that the meat is aser kidei klipa? That's what the Shach and Taz wonder about. They wonder about the comparison to the Mitzvah Yigal, which makes it more complicated. But let's first forget it to the Mitzvah Yigal. Just why? Why aser kidei klipa? Why wouldn't, after all, you're cutting with a dirty knife, meat. There's little cheese remnants, residue on the knife, and you're cutting meat. And there's duchat sakina. Didn't we just say duchat sakina makes the bleah go through the whole piece of meat? So why is it only aser kidei klipa? So here's machlokas Shach and Taz. Anyone want to tell me one of the opinions? Why? So it's machlok v'shach and taz, but then the kudus v'kesa, the shach agrees with the taz. So one shot is the shach says there's a special rule. The Gemara says in Pesachim that they had a certain case that if when you're roasting one piece touches another piece, the time goes in to the netilah. So then they said, there was a chavra who had some kohanim in them, and they smeared a little truma oil on their korban Pesach, and I guess there must have also been some non-kohanim who were then very annoyed. So he says, no problem, only today klipa is truma. Only today klipa becomes trait for me and you. Right? Why only today klipa? He says, ashani sicha de mashu ultimately. And only a tiny amount. When you put a tiny amount of trace, there wasn't trace, it was truma. But for me and you, that's trace, right? If you put a tiny amount of something, it only goes in the klipa. Only a big piece, so the time of that big piece will go in further than the klipa. But if you only have a tiny amount of trace, it only goes in the klipa. And that's what the shach says. The shach says, it's a double mort. How much schmutz is on the knife? I never measured, but the shach assumes the amount of schmutz on a knife is a double mort. If you want to know how big is a whole knife is big. Remember, it could be cleaver, which is very large. But how much schmutz could be on a knife? Only a davar mu'at. And there's a rule, a davar mu'at only goes into the klipa. Shas says there's a rule which comes from the Gemara. Davar mu'at only penetrates the klipa. That's a rule. You know, to us it sounds like a new rule, but it's not a new rule. It's found in the Gemara. Remember, the Gemara's case was, I smear a little tiny layer of oil on the meat, it only goes into the klipa because it's so tiny. Like right here, it only goes into the klipa because it's so tiny. Said the Taz slightly differently. The Taz says kacha. The Taz says that no, it goes in to the whole piece of meat. Hold on. But what happens when this little amount of schmutz that's on the knife goes into the whole piece of meat? Anyone want to guess what will happen to it? If the little amount of schmutz that's on the knife spreads out to the whole piece of meat? What's going to happen to it? A little schmutz goes through the whole piece of meat. It'll be bottom of shishim. It goes through the whole piece of meat. But it's bottle with shisha. Oh, hold on a second. Then according to the Taz, we should say that it's all mutter. So here the Taz gives us another rule. The rule is even in. Sorry. Even in case of Bittel, Bishishim, this is the Samach, today Klipa is still Asur. He ends up being very similar, almost saying the same thing. The Shach says, a tiny amount only goes in a today Klipa. And the Taz says, no, a tiny amount goes through the whole thing, but then it's bubbling the whole thing. But there's a new rule. The new rule is that when you have a Blia and it's bubbling the whole thing, a flea of dry foods, even though it's bottle, we still ask you if you take klipa. Why? Because even when we think it might penetrate through the whole piece of meat, it might stay on the outer layer. You never know. And therefore, even in case where it's bottle of shishim, you still need to ask for the outer layer. That's what we pass in general. You're going to open up some kofei, see what happens when you do malicha of kosher meat next to trace meat. If the kosher meat is 60 times the trace meat, it goes to the whole kosher meat as bottle, but it still asks for the outer layer. Says the shach in the kudus hakesef, that he really agrees with the Taz. He says, and the shach, I was just trying to explain the wording of the sheet that is brought down in the Torah, but lahalacha, I really agree with the Taz, lamaisa, that everyone agrees with the Taz. Why in this case? He just says, in the shach, I want to explain that maybe some Rishonim held like I said in the Taz. But I admit that the real halacha is like, maybe some Rishonim hold like I said in the shach. But I admit the real halacha is like you said in the Taz. So lamaisa, we all agree with the Taz. That what happens in this case, why is it? Usher. Sorry, Noah, watch your head. Why is it usher to the klipa, because it goes through the whole thing, but then it's bottled the whole thing, but even when it's bottled the whole thing, we still worry some of it might have collected in the outer klipa, might have gotten stalled in the outer klipa, and we usher to the klipa. The nafkamina between the shach and the taz would be, let's say you cut a very small piece of meat that was less than 60 times the shmutz. The shach would say, you only have to cut a kid klipa off the meat. The taz would say, no, in that case, he goes to the whole meat and makes a trace, and we would pop like the taz. Okay.
Say this last rule even if something is cooking.
No. This is only for dry things. This doesn't apply to things cooking in liquid. Things cooking in liquid,
no,
everything dissipates equally.
Well, without liquid. Also in something that's inside another?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If you have a piece of kosher meat and trace meat touching each other inside an oven, and even if the kosher meat is 60 times the trace meat, so the kosher meat's kosher, but the outer layer of the kosher meat is trace. We absolutely say that. That's in four halachim simon kofei. Okay. Now in the shach and taz, they go through great pains to explain the difference in this case, in the case of the beginning of simon tzadivaz, but we're not going to get into that now. Where we're chafted and where we didn't, we will leave it for now because we are under a significant degree of time pressure since this is our last year before the Bechina, and we do have more important things coming up in less than an hour. Okay. Now, so much for what we've discussed until now. Now, let us just fill in one more thing on this board. What did we just say? Hold on a second. According to what we just learned, we have to fill in one more thing. What's the last thing that we have to fill in? That even if the meat is 60 times the knife, the outer layer of the meat is trace. That, based on this taz, that even when the meat is 60 times the knife, the outer layer of the meat that touched the knife is trace. The shach and taz both agree it would be usher to the klipa. The prima gadim here wants to go further and say that it's even usher kedei netila, because you go by the normal rules of tefillah that usher kedei netila, against the mechaber shach and what sounds like at least the taz and the kudus v'kesef, and probably the mechaber also. Okay, lemaisa, so this doesn't really come up, and we don't need to be afraid of that.
What about what you said before about our time with the knives?
Clean. So let's chazer for a second. What about our days when the knives are clean? So again, if it's ben yomo, that doesn't help you. But what about our typical case nowadays? Typical case nowadays, what if someone say, I took the schnitzel out of the frying pan, or in the frying pan, then it would be enough to mean in terms of leaving a gala. I took the schnitzel out of the frying pan, or it's in the frying pan, and I actually cut it with a milchik knife. Or, what's another good example of dafka sakina? I accidentally picked it up with a milchik fork. The modern day post right now, forks are also dafka sakina. What do you mean? There's no dafka in a fork?
No.
You stab it in, that's a big dafka. You stab it in and it cuts. But instead of cutting the whole thing, it cuts four holes.
That doesn't appear in Shach. They also have Madligot. Nobody ever says such a thing. There's no Dukka that's such a Madligot. It's a totally different Fula. This knife goes this way and this. There's no Dukka.
Okay.
Yeah, but they made it up.
Yesh Lion. Yesh Lion. But Lemaisa, okay, let's say you cut it with a milk knife or... depending on who you listen to, you pick it up and you stab it with a milk and fork. So what would happen in our modern day kitchen? If either way, the knife would be trace. That there's no way to save, right? The knife is with milchik, now it became also fleishik. If it was ben yomo, it would be really trace. If it was ain't ben yomo, it would be sort of trace, but it doesn't matter. The knife is trace. Question is, what about the schnitzel? So if it was ben yomo, then you have a problem. Then you have to measure if there's 60 times the knife or not. But let's say most of our forks and knives are einu ben yomo, or stam is einu ben yomo, and nowadays they're clean. So lemaisa, we can say that nowadays the schnitzel is kosher. If it was einu ben yomo or stam and clean, the schnitzel is kosher. Because what's the problem? There's no schmutz on the knife, and the tam in the knife is no sinham lufgam. So there's no problem. So lemaisa, nowadays we can make them more than the shofet arach, because our stam knives are clean. Is it reformed to say that their stam knives are dirty and our stam knives are clean? No, that's just a matter of how we keep our knives. Or some knives are clean, depending on whose house you're in. Okay. I know one person who in their house, all the kelim are dirty all the time. So that's different. But I'm sure most of us, the kelim in our houses are clean. Think so. Okay. See, obviously, you understand that people from a certain school of thought will always be reluctant to say anything different than was in the old days, because if in the old days our knives are dirty, then we can't be reformed and say nowadays our knives are clean. But that's not generally our mahalach. Meaning, it's metzias, it's not exeris akasav. To prove to you what I'm saying. What's the shiurin? All of our knives are clean. Whoever heard of someone taking a dirty knife out of their drawer nowadays? When was the last time someone took a dirty knife out of their kitchen drawer? I don't know. So what does he say? It's the shach, right? It's the third line of the shach. Stam sakin shamdu miso covers all part of a stam knife has shamdu, this has fat or residue dried on its face. And again, as the Gilgamesh Rasha points out, all stam today are nikia. In the old days, a stam pot was clean, a stam knife was dirty. I'm sure there's a good historical reason, but I just don't think that's true anymore. I'm not talking about that. Something that you need to do scientific research, whatever. I'm not getting into that machlokas now. I'm here. You're just looking at it with your eyes. Okay, whatever. If you want to, you know, if someone wants to, have an extra gzera against, I don't know what. You want to have an extra gzera that you think that if we say our stam knives are clean nowadays, that we'll end up davening a shirach of a shah, then you can be makra on this. But letting is dicey. I don't think we need to worry about that. I think we'll be okay. All right. Now, here's where it gets a little more interesting. Calls that all of this is hot meat with a melting knife. What's the definition of hot halachically? Roteach in a kli, Rishon is hot. Says the Ramah, the Chol, the Basar Roteach in a kli Rishon. This is all Basar Roteach in a kli Rishon. And then what's the din? In a sakin and yomo, the ain shishin basar negat a sakin and kol usher. We just said, the sakin's been yomo and there wasn't 60, then it's all usher. The ach ha sakin zorch agom, the sakin needs agom, because it's mamish trace. Okay.
This is talking about a knife, all these things you're talking about, a knife that was used with a kli Rishon.
Yeah, well, correct. Abal in hu klisheni. What if your meat was in a klisheni? Let's say you didn't take the frying pan off the fire and then cut the schnitzel with a melting knife. You put the schnitzel on a plate and then you cut it with a melting knife. That's a klisheni. So what if it's a klisheni? Then the din is different. What's the din of a klisheni? What's the din of cutting with a knife in a klisheni? So the Ramban Mechaber assume, we'll see this is somewhat controversial, Ad HaYom HaZeh, but the Ramban and the Mechaber assume that a klisheni does not make things straight. That's not considered hot. We've seen that already in 7 Tzadi days. But what about Duchka V'Sakina? So there's a Gemara, the Gra points out, this is all based on a Gemara in Chulin Daf Chesam Beis. Let me read you the Gemara in Chulin Daf Chesam Beis. Not very long. Says the Gemara in Chulin, Itmar Shochet B'Sakin Shol B'Dichotim. You shech with a trace knife, right? A goyish knife, right? Doesn't mean it's owned by a guy. It means that the guy used it to cut trace meat. So it's a machlokes. Rav Omer Kolet, Rav Ruchana Omer Mediach. Rav says it's Asur Kedei Klipa. Why? Leim Hagam Ifli. Itmar Shav Beis Hashkita Tzoni. Itmar Shav Beis Hashkita Roteach. Maybe the machlokas is Rav says the asur take klipa because he thinks the neck of an animal when he shechs it is hot. The Gemara says no. The kuli alamei tashkita roteach. Man the kol of shaper man the reidiach. I didn't treat it. Sorry. Ika the amri the kuli alamei tashkita tzone. Man the reidiach shaper and the kol of agadoth lachina bala. Okay. What is the seemingly the last ika the amri the maskan of the Gemara? Everyone agrees the neck of an animal is cold. What does that mean? The neck of an animal is colder than what temperature? Yatzo let it go. Everyone knows, or not everyone knows, but now everyone's going to know. The Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa, in the very beginning, I think it might be even the very beginning of the first part of Shmir Shabbos Pilchasa, wants to figure out what is Yatzo let it go in Hilchos Shabbos. Everyone knows this is a big machlokas. No one knows exactly what Yatzo let it go is. He says,
obviously, you know, what, should we use Fahrenheit? Raise your hand if you like Fahrenheit. Okay. Obviously, 90 degrees is not yad soledes bo. That's colder than my body. Obviously, 98.6 degrees is not yad soledes bo. That's my body temperature. Obviously, 99 degrees is not yad soledes bo. That's just the tiniest smidgen above my body temperature. So what is yad soledes bo? So he says, the maskon of the Gemara is that Beis HaShechita is tzomen. The maskon of the Gemara is that the Beis HaShechita, when you shech the animal, is not yad soledes bo. So he says, he went and did measurements, or he sent someone to do measurements. When you shech various types of animals, and they're very worked up at being shechted, how hot is the neck of the animal when he shechs it? And he discovered that for sure the neck of the animal could be 105 degrees Fahrenheit pasha. They present the dover pasha up to 105 degrees Fahrenheit is not any chash yad soledes bo. If you have food that's 105 degrees Fahrenheit, you can be certain that's not yad soledes bo. Why? Because that's around the heat of a Beis HaShechita. And that's called not roteach. So that's where he got his upper limit. Some posts can beforehand it said maybe over 100 degrees you have to be kosher for yad soledes bo. He says no way. Until 105 degrees you don't have to worry about yad soledes bo. Because I have a proof from the Gemara, the Beis HaShechita is tzonen, is not yad soledes bo. Okay, that was a side point. Now what does the Gemara say though? The Gemara says even though the Beis HaShechita, the neck of the animal that you shechted with a treat knife, is cold, it's still goleah and becomes usher to the klipa because of duch and sakina. Here we're not talking about hot, we're talking about cold. Says Tosfos there, on Chulin Daf Chesem and Beis. Rav Yitzchak Bar Meir said, whenever you cut an animal, whenever you chop up an animal, and the butcher chops up an animal, and he chops off the chaylev and the ginanosh and everything else, the whole animal becomes traced to the klipa. Because the knife got a little chaylev and ginanosh and other things on it, and when you cut it, wherever you cut with a trace, knife becomes usher to the klipa. Rav Yitzchak, Rav Meir, one of the Malitosos, says, what did you learn from here? Duch and sakina always usher to the klipa. However, we don't paskin like that. Says Tosfos, that's not the minhag. We do not assume that a knife always ushers everything, even if it's cold, to the klipa. That'll be very clear in some sadivak, etc. We do not pass in that way. So what does Tosfos say? Bishim sotam alim shalonish and over the hakel the dilma beis hashchita davshe roteach ktsas manu docha de sakina. And then he brings many rayas. What's the maskan of Tosfos? It's not that docha de sakina makes a bleed to the klipa. No, docha de sakina is something cold. Doesn't make any blia. Right? What about cold meat? What if you cut cold meat with a milky knife? No, he says then the meat is totally mutter. Doch sakina doesn't do anything cold. That's not what the Gemara means. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that roteach fast. The Beis HaShechita is not hot, but what do we call it? It's not exactly hot. English vocabulary? Warm. Very good. It's not hot, but it's warm. That's all says the Tosos. Duch and Zakina plus warm makes a Bliya today Klipa. And that's what the Bira Gra here points out. That v'chein le'ika da'amri perk aleph beis hashchita tzonei v'komakom kolim shem duchet zakina el shakas v'rash v'komakom taimu shem beis hashchita roteach ktsas mitzurif l'taimu duchet zakina v'zeo shakas v'kan, and this is the base of the Ramah. Of course the Rashbo says, like Maskan Tosfos, only duchet zakina plus warm. Warm doesn't make a bliya. Duchet zakina doesn't make a bliya. Duchet zakina plus warm makes a bliya, and therefore he says, what if you cut warm meat with a milky knife? That is the case of the Gemara, where they say that an aser is kedei klipa, Rav Amar Kolif. That's we pass like Rav, not everyone, but we pass like Rav, Amar Kolif.
What does war mean? So, says the Rabbah, Avonu klisheni. What if it's in klisheni? Habas or tzara klipa, then asers klipa. By the way, the Torah's chassas is pretty clear that it's lav davka klisheni. It's also, if it's in a klirisho, it's just less than yatzoletisko, right? That's like the case of ishashvidotea. What is worm? There are two examples of worm, klisheni or klirishon ve'ein hayad soletisko. Right, those are examples of worm. That's like the case of the Gemara. So what if it's in a klisheni? So then the meat is also a klipa. That's what it says in the Gemara in Chulin. What about the knife? It doesn't say anything about the knife in the Gemara in Chulin. So the case in the Gemara in Chulin was you take a trace knife.
Okay, you take a trace knife, you can give it back to the gut. You don't have to worry about what to do with it. It's not your knife.
It's a guy's knife. You just accidentally used it. It says, what about the knife? The sakin ne'itza b'karka. The sakin needs the kashadu ne'itza b'karka. The chain, no again. Vafilin sak ben yomo. That's meaning even if the knife is not ben yomo, it doesn't matter. Yesh liklo saboser ma'abishim shamnu sakin. You should still do a little klipa to the meat because of the schmutz on the knife. Says the... explains the the 1 second. The grunt of Kavod Habasar Tzara Klipa Mosakim Shol Nachri, like the case that I just mentioned for the Martin Dachres and the base of the trace knife. The Chom Beis Hashchita and Yosem Plisheni. The heat of the Beis Hashchita, meaning the knife. Beis Hashchita doesn't mean the slaughterhouse. Beis Hashchita means the neck. The heat of the neck of the animal, where you shed, is not worse than klisheni. It's equivalent to klisheni. El yishum shamnunis, it goes to Barahol. What's the problem? The problem is shamnunis, like we explain later on. What did the Gra say here? He says an important yisod, says the Gra. Very important yisod, I might add. He says, klisheni and dukkan sakina will only answer because of the shamnunis. We'll only ask you the shamnus. What does he mean by this? What he means by this is, it is not powerful enough to get blias out of the metal knife. It can't get blias out of a kli. It can only get schmutz into the food. What do I mean by this? Let's just take the possibilities. If the knife is clean. If the knife is clean, then the meat is mutter. Why? Because ducha plus warm is not enough lehaflit mikli. Can't get the bli out of a kli. Kalim are hard. Ducha zakin plus warm can get the taste of schmutz into food. But it can't get the tom out of a kli. How do I know that? A, I just read you the gross of Yishuv Shamnunis, and it's more of a foolish Rabbi Kiv Eger on this. Says Rabbi Kiv Eger, Mishum have the end shalah sakin because of the schmutz on the knife. Avol b'yadur sakin nuki, if you know your knife is clean, like nowadays. After then yomim tzor klipa, Torah's katas. He goes to Rabbi himself in the Torah's katas, that this kiddush of duchad sakina plus warmth and avli tzor klipa means from food into food. It doesn't mean it gets the taste out of the knife. To get teeth out of a knife, you need Yerushim, you need Mamashit. Therefore, the meat is mutter. And what about the knife? The knife needs, it doesn't need Hagolah, it needs Nikita.
Even if it's clean?
What?
Even if it's clean?
It's not clean anymore. Now it's a milky knife with tons of meat juice, with tons of meat schmutz on it. Right? You just cut meat. It's a milky knife. Now you cut meat. Now it's dirty with meat. So to clean the knife, you need Nikita.
So we just said that we just said that the only reason it was a problem was the milk knife. The milk knife is the only problem because of the klisheni. Why should the knife mean anything?
The push shot is because even if it's not mavliya into the knife, it still puts a lot of schmutz on the knife, and that schmutz is hard to get off unless you scrub it well.
Talking about that the knife is clean.
The knife is clean, and I cut meat with it. After I cut meat with it, it's now full of meat schmutz. But it's a milky knife. How can I use a milky knife with meat schmutz?
Why do you need meat?
Okay, so hold that thought. Can I ask you to hold that thought for a minute?
Of course.
Okay, now, what if the, and this again, this is not the case of the Shulchan Aruch, because Stam knives in his days were dirty, right? What if the knife is dirty, which is the case of the Shulchan Aruch? Then the meat is aser kedei klipa. Why? Because warmth, because warmth plus duchka desakina is mavliya kedei klipa. That's the principle. Warmth plus, that's the principle from the shochet with a trace knife. Warmth plus, you shochet with a dirty trace knife, the warmth plus dos dakina makes the shmutz going to the klipa. Here also makes it going to the klipa. And the knife needs ne'itza. Now, asks Zev, why does the knife need ne'itza? So here is a good question. Why does the knife need ne'itza? Why can't you just clean the knife like regular dishwashing? Right? Why can't you just wash it like regular? I understand it's a milchik knife which is used for meat. So if you have a milchik plate, you use it for meat. You, of course, have to wash it well. If you have a milchik spoon, you use it for meat. You, of course, have to wash it well. Why isn't it enough to wash it well? Why do you need to do ne'itza? So here, the poskim are not 100% clear, I must admit, as to why you, why you need ne'itza, but it could very well be. Because the assumption is when you cut warm meat with duch de sakina, the warmth plus the duch de sakina makes the schmutz get caked on really hard. When the schmutz is caked on really hard, you need ne'itza, not just regular dishwashing. The principle is not only that, what do we see here? How do you kasher a knife? Says the shach, this is based on the shach to cut lamed aleph. How do you kasher a knife? So what does the principle seem to be from our sugya? If it was made trace in a kli rishon, then you need hagavah. If it was made trace in a kli sheni, then you need ne'itza. If it was made trace cold, then you just need to wash it. Right, let's call that hadacha. Right. You just need to wash it. However, the Shach makes some exceptions. He says, you know what? Even though we learned earlier, Machlokes Shach and Tazer, he says ne'itza is a way to kasher a knife. It's two things. It's a way to kasher a knife and a way to clean a knife. Knives that absorb through Dr. Sakina sometimes need to be kasher through ne'itza. We'll get that into Chavalos. Also, knives that have tough schmutz on them need to be kasher through ne'itza. Knives that have tough schmutz on them need to be kasher through ne'itza. It's not enough to do regular dishwashing, you need ne'itza. When the knives have tough schmutz on them, if they were using a klisheni. If they were using a klisheni, they need ne'itza. Says the Shach, there's another case. Says the Shach, this is called called soft. If you cut a cold soft thing, but what if you cut a cold, very hard thing? Soft meaning like meat. Meat is soft. What if you cut hard cheese with a flacious knife? I don't mean cheese like, I mean really hard cheese, like you said in the old days that you didn't have to keep refrigerated, right? What if you cut something really, really hard? Then, says the Shach, you need ne'itza. That's what the Shach says. You need to cut lamed aleph, you need ne'itza. Why? Because if you have a really hard duchka, either a duchka with warmth or a duchka with a lot of pressure, then even the schmutz on it is so hard to get off
that you're not going to get it off with regular dishwashing. You're going to have to do a thorough abrasive scrubbing. What is a thorough abrasive scrubbing? In their days, they called it an itza. What does the itza mean? You stuck it into the hard ground. You found a place with hard dirt that was not plowed, and you stuck it in the ground 10 times. So in our days, I don't know, maybe you take steel wool and you scrub it 10 times. You need a really, really, really good scrubbing. Now again, you'll tell me, but maybe in our kitchens we have better water, maybe you wouldn't need 10 times, maybe 2 times would be good enough? Okay. That's the kind of thing which is, let's not forget the shiur. Let's say you still need to scrub it 10 times with something really hard. You need to scrub it 10 times with something really hard, not just with regular dishwashing, if it was either a cliché because that makes it more baked on, or if it was you scrub something really hard. The Ad Yehuda here gives a third case. He says, a third chumrah of Nita. Says the Ad Yehuda, and this is, I've seen quoted in some other days for him, that if you waited a long time, then you need ne'itza, even if you just used it to cut cold, soft food. But then you let it dry for a day before you washed it, now you're going to need ne'itza, because now it's going to be dried on. Okay, so the post-mortem not with it. In many cases, in nights you need ne'itza. Again, I wonder, I need a historian here. Like maybe if the reason for the itza just because things get more stuck to a knife, or is it partially also because as long as you're doing normal dishwashing, it's hard to properly wash a knife because you know you want to be careful of the blade. If you stick into the ground, then you're not worried about the blade. You know you don't want to get caught, so you stick into the ground. You can use as much force as you want safely. But for whatever reason it was, the mice said there are many cases that will say if you want to kasher a knife, even that was used cold. If you want to kasher a knife, sometimes regular dishwashing is enough, but sometimes you need to eat, so you need abrasive scrubbing. When do you need abrasive scrubbing? Says the Ramah, klisheni, says the Shach, very hard foods, and says the Yehuda, if you let it sit and you let the guk harden. Okay, so in many cases, the postman say you need to very great, to abrasively scrub a knife. This actually comes up, halacha l'maisa, that let's say a milk knife used for meat or vice versa, and it wasn't kasher, so need tagala. It still might need abrasive scrubbing and not just regular dishwashing. Okay, anything else from this? Sif? I think we... Ah, of course! Who went to a Jewish high school? Okay, great, so you probably learned a little book of Shabbos or something, right? What's wrong with this Ramah? What did the Ramah say? If you cut a piece of meat in a kli rishon, oh, then you have a big problem that's hot. If you cut the cliche, that's not hot, it's only warm, special chomer duchus sakina.
What we learned in Hilchos Shabbos in Jewish high school, that it's only in a cliche that things become...
No, no, better.
Nothing cooks in a cliche.
No? Oh, great. Nothing cooks in a cliche, but duchus sakina is different. Never learned about a double gush? Never learned about a double gush in your high school? Why, your high school DRS didn't teach you about a double gush? What are they, all the Sfarmaisa? When do we say that klisheni is na'enum vashel in soup, in liquid? But if you have a piece of something, like a piece of steak, a piece of chicken, then even if you transfer from klisheni to klisheni, it doesn't make a difference. It's not like in the kli, it's just sitting on the kli. It doesn't take the form of the kli. If you take a piece of steak and you put a klisheni, it's still a kli rishon. Dover gush the kli rishon forever. That's what you should have learned in high school. If anyone wants, I will give you a letter. You can go to your high school and ask for your tuition money back. I'll give everyone here a letter. That is the famous machlokes between the Ramah and the Maharshal. The Ramah here is of the opinion that a davar gush the klisheni counts as klisheni. That's what he says. You take steak or chicken, against what you learned in high school, you take steak or chicken and you put in the klisheni, it now counts as klisheni. However, the Shach Nasgoth with Marshal is saying, no, if you put soup or coffee in a cliché, it counts as cliché. But steak counts as a cliché, even in a double gush. That's why the post is saying, because the Shabbos, if you have chicken soup in a bowl on the table, you're allowed to put pepper on it, because it's a cliché, and you can put pepper in a cliché. But if you have, I don't know, we never eat steak on Shabbos. Anyway, but if you have steak or chicken or potato kugel or schnitzel on your plate on Shabbos, then you're not going to put pepper on it because it's still a kli rishon. As long as it's hot, it's still a kli rishon.
And it's someone's actually not allowed to put pepper on it. If you want to put pepper, you have to wait until it gets cool. In which case, it's probably not worth it. Just leave it out. Now, so that's the sheet of the Marshal that's not found anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't address it explicitly. The Ramah is beforeish. A solid item in a cliché and counts as cliché. So let's just make ourselves a little box here. Oh, sorry. Cold meat with a milky knife. What about the knife? Knife needs hadacha. Remember, if it was cold, based on what we have here. Okay. What about the following case? What about a dover gush? Big cliché. For a mustache, it counts as cliché. It's not mavasha. It was built in a zakina. It'll be a tiny drop if it's dirty. But it's basically the seder. Maharshal says it's like a kli rishon. It's mekubal in the yeshiva shevel to explain, and probably correct, that what's the basis of machlokas Marshal and Ramah. Tosso says in Shabbos, I think it's daf mem, that I'll give you a chance to remove the stain of gezel from the administrators of your high schools. Tosso says in Shabbos daf mem, what's the difference in kli rishon and kli sheni? Why is a kli rishon mevashal more than a kli sheni? What does Tosso say? Yeah, kli rishon, the defanos mechamos, it has hot walls on the pot. Kli sheni, the defanos mechamos, it has cold walls on the pot that clean it off. That cool it off, right? The kli rishon, the walls, the pot itself makes it hotter. The kli makes the food hotter. And the kli sheni, the kli makes the food colder. So, they say that that the Ramban and Marshal are arguing over the diuk of this tosos. Is it davka that when there's hot walls of a kli, it's a kli rishon? Or davka when there's cold walls of a kli, it's a kli sheni? The Ramban says, only when there's a hot kli, it's a kli rishon. Once you put your steak on your plate, now there's no hot kli, it's a kli sheni. Marshal says, no, it's only when there's a cold kli cooling it off that it becomes a kli sheni. When you take your steak and put it in your plate, the kli can't cool it off. The kli can't cool it off because it doesn't take the shape and spread out all over the kli. It's only touching the kli in one little place. The rest of it's not touching the kli. It's not like liquid that's circulating and always touching the kli. So basically, the way it's difficult to understand this machlok is that when you put a liquid thing in a kli sheni, every bit of that liquid is touching every bit of the kli sheni. So it no longer has hot kli making it hot, and the cold kli making it cold. When you have a solid item, most of it doesn't touch the kli at all. It's not affected by the kli. It just happens to be sitting on the kli. It's not affected by the kli. It's not held by the kli. It's just on the kli. Therefore, it's as if it's neutral. So what's it in a neutral? Ramah says, anything neutral is cliché. Only a hot wall of a kli make you cliché. Marshal says, no, anything neutral is cliché. Only cold walls of a kli make you cliché. According to the Ramah and the Mechaber, yes. According to the Ramah and the Mechaber, yes. What you're pointing out is, I think the Prima Gadol says this, you might be mocking like Marshal and Blios and making on Hilchos Shabbos. Because maybe it's enough to be on Bliya, but not to be on Vashel. But for now, let's pretend we don't know that.
Why can't you go into the previous direction, the whole discussion about whether we have Bliya is when we know it's Vashel that you're...
No, because we draw Bonan, we don't make such distinctions. What's this for the Marshal? Because there's no effective... Defanos Ikaros. Okay, how do we paskin? Like the Ramah or like the Maharshal? How do we paskin? So, the, the Taz says that, how do we paskin? Says the Taz that we're make it like the Ramah, but the makom duchka the sakina machmirim kemarshal. The achrava tells we can make like Ramah. Once you put your chicken or your schnitzel or your steak or your potato on a plate, it's now cliché. Only the duchka sakina we're makom like the marshal. So in this sip, we'll be makom like the marshal, but otherwise not. That is not what we accept. The shach and the poskim all say that were machmir like the Marshal.
this is what is accepted lehalacha.
We accept lehalacha against this Ramban, or machmer like the Marshal. The post went out. It's not that the Zadim hold like the Marshal. We're machmer misafik like the Marshal. But therefore, if it's a complicated shayla, this would be a sniffle hakel because you're starting with a suffix yeser, not a vada yeser. But the ma'isa, we are machmer like the Marshal. There's even a Rav Moshe who says, the Igros Moshe, in the ones written to Rabbi Eider, that would be Orach Chaim Chelik Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet, or the little chumas wrote to Rabbi Eider, where Eider's writing his Hilchos Shabbos book, which is the first English Hilchos Shabbos book, and one of the first, like, sort of organized modern-day Hilchos Shabbos books ever. So there's Rav Moshe, the Igros Moshe, Chelik Dalet, Orach Chaim Siman Ayin Dalet, all the little machine gun questions that Rabbi Eider asked and then he answered. He writes there, and I think a few other places, that really we're only machmer like Marshal. The Ikra did we think the Ramah is more likely to be correct, it's just a chumra that we hold like the Marshal. I heard that from Schefter as well. That even though we pass like the Marshal, it's only the Geder Achshash, not the Geder Ikra did. But in any case, some folks can say we pass like the Marshal mitzad Sofik did. Some people say mitzad Achshash l'chumra. But either way, L'maisa, we hold like the Marshal. Therefore, on Shabbos, we will not put pepper on your chicken. Because as long as your chicken is hot, it's a kli rishon like the Marshal, you can't put pepper on it. And therefore, certainly in Isser v'Heter, if you took a hot piece of schnitzel, even if you moved it from the frying pan to a tray, from the tray to your plate, as long as the schnitzel is hot, that's considered a kli rishon. If you cut it with the milk is nice, the milk is nice needs hagala. And if the milk is nice, then you'll know the whole schnitzel could be traced.
Would you reject double ghost and Shabbos will also reject it in?
Was it probably, like, isn't the Chazanish not? No, so that's what I said. There are some Akronim who want to make a Shara saying Shabbos will be Nathan because it's not hot enough to be Mamish Bishel. But in Isser v'Heter will be Machmer because it's hot enough to make the Blias go through. So, but that's not the mainstream meaning. Mainstream meaning is to be Machmer in both.
Isn't Korinth
and
Marshal,
isn't it only real fair? Yeah. Only if it's Yatza Lettuce, but the schnitzel stayed Yatza Lettuce for a long time.
We come back to the definition of Yatza Lettuce.
Yatza, anything over 105 degrees, which is, what is that, 40?
I suggest a little more. You measure the heat of the schnitzel on the table. It's not the Yatza Lettuce. You can't eat it if it's Yatza Lettuce. You get burned.
It is not me. When my wife serves me the schnitzel, it's too hot to eat. I have to, like, cut a little piece and blow on it. No, it also depends. It depends if it's something that was warmed up, came out, got me clear shop this morning, or you're talking about fresh schnitzel. Fresh schnitzel, my wife serves me on the table, it's bright and hot. If I put a whole piece of schnitzel in my mouth, I would get a burn. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's not how long we've seen it, but it's schnitzel as it is. But clearly, there are many things that we serve on the table, especially on weekdays, you know, which are broiling hot. You have barbecue, you take it off the barbecue, you put it on a tray, you bring it to the table. I've been at barbecues. Within 45 seconds after it comes off the grill, it's gone. Okay? And when people eat it, it's still Yad Soledis, though. Or at least when people put it on their plates, it's still Yad Soledis, though. Right? 45 seconds, once off the grill, there's nothing left on the tray, it's all on someone's plates. They all hop to 1, 2, 3, just in case. There's no more coming out. And it's still Yad Soledis, though. People are eating it, and it could still be Yad Soledis, though. It's good to eat food when it's still really a little Yad Soledis, though. Then you eat it in small bites, or you blow on it, or you put it in a bun with other things, and then it doesn't burn your mouth. Okay, but to each his own. This is Sif Zayin. Ellie? Now we're ready for Sif Ches. Sif Ches is a strange Sif. It's a peculiar Sif. And in Nafal, this is not a mucker anywhere in Shas. I mean, neither is the last one. But it's even further removed. This is a Rabbi Yerucham, who has this random maisa. We're not even sure what it means exactly. In Nafal, a taner p'nadish. If something falls into a p'nadish oven, what is a p'nadish oven? It doesn't mean an oven. Like, they didn't have a separate oven for p'nadish. What is a p'nadish? I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. Anyone know how to pronounce, you know, laws better? A p'nadish is a meat pie. But that's not relevant. A taner p'nadish, as the Taz explains, is a ka'arishal basar. It means the dish which you make a p'nadish in. The meat pie dish. So if what fell into the meat pie dish? Gvina. If cheese fell onto the meat pie dish, onto the taner p'nadish.
Now, what's a little ambiguous here? What's ambiguous, where did the cheese fall? What are the two ways to read if cheese fell onto a taner knanish?
Onto the dish.
Onto the dish, or? Onto the knanish in the dish, right? I mean, it clearly is a dish here, but was the dish empty, or did the dish have a knanish like it's supposed to? Was the dish earning its name, or is it just minding its own business? Right? So that's unclear. Might sound like a bit of a machlokas shach and taz, right? As the shach says, pirish and avol knanish chava. It fell onto the knanish. Well, the taz says, pirish ka'ara shal basar, dain cho osin ba machlo shal basar, and nikra knanish. So the taz, that mocher, it sounds different from the shach. It sounds like the shach thing, the gvina fell onto a meat pie, or what do we call it now, a shepherd's pie? That's what we call a meat pie nowadays. The cheese fell onto a shepherd's pie, and in those days you didn't have to be shepherd, everyone ate it. And the taz sounds like, and that's what later I'm going to mostly assume, that the cheese fell onto an empty dish. Okay, afilu achi, even if the cheese was moist. V'chein v'ina cham v'ka'ur v'bas v'at yomen. Likewise, hot cheese onto a benyomo fleshing plate. Eino osir el k'dei klipa. It's only osir k'dei klipa. Okay, what is the case here and why is it only osir k'dei klipa? That's what the poskim are trying to figure out. What exactly is the case? And why is it only usher k'dei klipa? That's a valid question, right? Okay. So, sorry.
Why should it be more?
Hold on.
They weren't cooked together.
Lama Aser Rak Kidei Klipa. So the assumption of the poskim is, is, as the Shach said on the base, Perish Novel Apnadish Chama Gvina Afilu Lacha. Even if the Pnadish was Chama, even if the Pnadish on the bottom was hot. Okay, the substance of the post, I haven't really seen Achron, because it doesn't sound that way from the Mokr and the Bini Yerucham. You could say, talking about classic Tatagavar. A hot thing fell on a cold thing, so there's no Kiddush in this Machaber. But that's not what it sounds like in Bini Yerucham. Rini Rucham does not sound like it's hot on cold. If it was hot on cold, then Shalom Yisrael. We don't understand perfectly why it's only Osir K'dei Klipa. Right? But, if you find the Kasser Rini Rucham, well, certainly it sounds like in the Beis Yosef, says, either hot fish on a cold plate or a cold fish on a hot plate. It sounds like you're not dealing with Tafah Gavar. What does it sound like? It sounds like in the first case, the bottom was hot. In the second case, the top was hot. So hold on a second. What's the case? The case is Nafal Nafla. Zina al Haner Knadish Cham or Lepeach. This or yeah, I think it was also Zina, right? Zina Chama, I think was used at the Sakas. Doesn't make a difference. Chama al Kiara Bisarit, that's our Russian. Right? So if we assume that that's the yosef, just like the case of hot fish on cold plate or cold fish on hot plate. So then, hold on. In at least the resha, if not the seifa, we don't know if the seifa fell on a hot plate or a cold plate, but it sounds like even if the bottom was hot or the top one is hot. Hold on. What do you mean it doesn't make a difference if the top one was hot or the bottom was hot? They both are hot. Shouldn't we say if the bottom one was hot? You tell me, how usher should it be if the bottom one is hot? Only k'dei klipa? What should the rule be? What if the bottom is hot or they're both hot?
should be at least kedei netila for tzli if they're dry,
right? So what's the question? Question is, if bottom or both are hot, should the usher at least kedei netila?
That's the question. I know, but don't think you can answer that. It's talking about where the bottom one was cold and the top one was hot. That's not what it sounds like from the Beis Yosef. So there are two main ways to answer this. And this might depend on the Shach and the Taz. So, the Shach says, what does the Shach say? And this is the Pashm Sharon Ben Yeruchim. He says that
Shach says, there's a special rule, Gvina only is only Mavliya Kidei Klipa.
Gvina is not very permeable or permeating. It says, Gvina is very sort of dry kind of thing that only gives in Kidei Klipa. A special rule of Gvina. Ah, how did Yeruchim do a special rule of Vina, the Zomacher, and Shas? That's what the Prim Gadol says. You can't go around inventing special rules that don't make any sense to us that are not found in Shas. If something's found in Shas, okay, we have a certain amount of Malunas Chachamim. We say, you know what, whether we understand it or not, if it's found in Shas, we'll try our best to integrate into the halachic system. But Ren Yeruchim can't go and invent rules like this. That's what the Shas says. It says the Shas, it's not like a normal case where you need the Tila. The aim there, Gvina Likonis Kokah. Special rule, Gvina is not Niftas. And what's the second special rule?
Special rule, Bliya from a Kli only penetrates the Klipa.
Two special rules, cheese is very weak, it only goes into the klipa, and the bliya and the kli only goes into the klipa. Again, this is all solid.
From a kli?
From a kli. That's the seifa. Vina chama al ka'arav b'sarit. So therefore, vina is only
into the meat pie, into cheese.
This is the, sorry,
reisha.
This is the seifa. That's what he says. The chiddush of the reisha is that the meat pie is only also the klipa, because cheese only goes into the klipa. Cheese is weak. The chiddush of the seifa is that blios and the kli are weak. Blios and the kli only go into the klipa, not into the tila. Of course, we're not talking about cooking here.
This is all without
rotas, meaning not in the soup. In the soup, we know if you cook pot in the soup, it'll fit the taking of the whole soup, because that's with water. We're talking about without soup, just dry things. The Taz seems to interpret differently, because he seems to say we're not talking about a paner p'nadish. And the Shas says, paner p'nadish means p'nadish. The Taz, according to the way the Chazan Ish explained him, and he liked this shot, says no, Taner Pnadish means the clean. Then hold on. Then the Reisha is cheese falling onto a Flesha Kli, and the Seifa is cheese falling onto a Flesha Kli. So what's the difference? They're both got cheese falling onto a Flesha Kli. Right? That's already what the Gra says, something like that here.
I thought it was a Gra, I might be wrong.
I forgot something. Okay. I have to go back in a second. So, the, according to this, what is the principle according to the Taz? It's not clear, but the principle seems to be
special rule, food. Again, this is all without rotis. We're not talking about if you cook in liquid. If you cook in liquid, the time goes through everything that's pushed. Food is mavliya
into kli only kedei klipa? Food is only a kli into a kli kedei klipa. That's the ratio. The cheese falls under the tanur panadish, the tanur panadish is only also kedei klipa. The same for the special rule is that kli is mavliya into food. There he agrees with the shach. Only kedei klipa. L'maisa, the ratio still remains a little mysterious. We're not sure exactly what it meant, but all the poskim say that we can rely at least on the seifa. Some of the poskim reject the ratio of the mechaber, but all the echad agree we can accept the seifa of the mechaber, and that's what the shach explains at length into Katan Lamed Gimel, that a kli is only enough lean to dry food to the klipa. Two pieces of meat next to each other are bleak de netila, at least. But a kli is only a bleak de klipa. So if you grill and take barbecue, then it's only a bleak de klipa, but not true, because we have to add one thing. Add the shach, oh, that's not true. We see many steers to that. So the shach adds one caveat. If the food is very dry, this we agree with the shach. When do we have this kula? Only if the food is very dry, like cheese in your case is very dry. Meaning, if I grill meat on a straight barbecue, that's going to answer the whole meat. Because the meat is very juicy when I grill it. Here's something out of very dry food. If I put very dry food, when you grill anything, it's not going to be very dry. Very dry is only going to be if it like falls onto something when it's hot. Because when you grill anything, it gets juicy. The juice starts coming out. But this way, if a very dry food touches a kli that's hot, then it will only be usher kedei klipa. Okay, that's the part of this that we accept. Okay, Rabbi Rekefet, I'm going to have to beg your indulgence because it's the last shiur before the Mishnah, and I need 5 minutes. So while you start setting up, I will pretend that you don't exist. As difficult as that is. I realize I forgot the last Tisvei Tshuva. We have to go back. Well, first we have to go back to Zion for a moment. I forgot one Tisvei Tshuva. Says the Tisvei Tshuva, very important Tisvei Tshuva from Zion. Back to Inyan the Marashah. Let's read the Tisvei Tshuva. Zion, Ayin, Ver, Heitiv, Ayin, Besol, Flamincha, Kval, Chav, Gimel. Shekotzav, Shevetoros, Asham, Heres, Lahafsu, Daf, Marashah, Asham, Akalik. So he quotes the Torah Asham, that Pachal is Marshal, but has a kula off his sleeve. Hecha she'ira basar ima rotev toka klisheini hazmi kari gama basar ide rotev shema kairo basovir basar be called stada. What does he say? This is a great kula. We are machalek in Marshal Dever Gush, but what if the Dever Gush was in the soup or in chulit, whatever? What if you have a bean in the chulit? The bean is dry, but it's inside, let's say you have a wet chulit. Or what if you have a carrot in the soup? The carrot is dry, but it's in the soup. Says all that. The carrot is in the soup. Then there's no chumra of dover gush. Then we don't have to be makel like the marshal. Why? Because the soup is the cliche, because every molecule of soup circulates and touches the bowl. And since the soup also permeates the carrot, so the carrot's also cliche, even though the carrot's solid, it's permeated by soup, which is touching the bowl. So he says, carrots in the soup, you can count as the cliche. That's a good kula from this Torah Sashem. Then he just quotes Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer says that there's no nafkamina, this will come back to some kofeng. There's no nafkamina, this marshal. Our minig is that even klisheni, even klishlishi, we just trace everything up. We don't make any single kim. And then he goes to all kinds of chumras, but if you look at the end, there's two things. First of all, two kulas. First of all, he quotes a kula from the, he quotes a kula from Minchas Yaakov that, the Chassam Sofer says the end, two kulas. Number one, Chassam Sofer at the end says, even though our minigs may operate everything, if you're really stuck, you have the right to rely on the Ramah against the Marshal. Even nowadays, post-game, they have other stuff in Lahakel, can rely on the Ramah against the Marshal if you're really stuck, based on the Chassam Sofer. He says the Ikrid is more like the Ramah. So therefore, if you're really stuck, there's room to be Makel, based on a judgment call. Second Indian, that's first Indian. Then Mahar, three points that said they should. And one Torah Asham says, carrots in the soup, you don't have to chomer the Marshal. Number two, the Chassam Sofer says, if you're really stuck, you can make it like the Marshal. Okay, exactly in what circumstances? The judgment call, but certainly if you're other son of the Huckle, you can make it against the Marshal. Three, Chassam Sofer says, in regular cases, we trafe off every cliche, any cliche, everything, and we just make everything trafe nowadays. However, the Pesach Tshuva comments on him that Hamorim Shalonu ain't no again king. Now, where I live, they're not knowing to trafe off every cliche and cliche. Rather, they get into some of the chilukim mentioned by the Shach and Tazim Kofei. Hey, there's three things that I forgot to mention this Pesach Tshuva. Number one, carrots in the soup. We don't have to keep the Marshal. Number two, says the Chassam Sofer, when you're stuck, there's room to be makel against the Marshal. Certainly when you have other Tzadim L'Hakel. Number three, Chassam Sofer thinks that we erase all this, and nowadays our minig is to trace up everything cliche, 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 it doesn't matter. But the Pesach Tshuva says, no, maybe that was in the Chassam Sofer's town, but in our town, we don't have this Torah. Okay, last if is test. And we'll just go through it for kitzur, not every detail of the Shach here. Bishlu dvash v'machta shel basar bas yoma. If you cooked honey in a ben yomo fleishik pot or pan, for ikucham b'chor shel chola bas yoma, and you poured it while it was boiling hot, this is a no-no. You poured it straight from a fleishik pot into a milchik bowl. Ka'or shel basar bas yoma. You might think it's trafe. Hold on. Ben yomo of meat, ben yomo of milk. You might think it's trafe. Said the Mechaber, mutter. Why is it mutter? Says Mechaber. Here you have your red is right. Ben yomo bisari pot. And in the pot you have honey. You now pour the honey, when it's boiling hot straight off the fire, into a ben yomo chalavi bowl. Says the Yosef mutter, and he gives one reason to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Yosef says there's a second reason also, we just don't need it. What are the two reasons? Shemdavi not bar not that teira. Why is the Mechaber saying mutter? For two reasons, it's mutter. Number one, is this honey fleishik when you cook in a fleishik pot? Even ben yomo, no. It's not bar not the hetera. Not bar not the hetera is pirate. Number two, what's the other reason? In the Beis Yosef, why is mutter? Because what happens when you get meat taste in honey? The honey better because it tastes like meat now? What? Sure. No, it's a scum. I mean, no same time lift gum. Why? Because even ben yomo, even though it's ben yomo, and ben yomo is usually tam l'shma, but meat is bad for honey. The taste of meat makes honey worse. Can you imagine if they take fine wine that costs $100 a bottle and you cook meat in it? Of course that's a tam l'shgam. Not just 24 hours old. Because some things are just bad. Meat is bad for honey. How do we know that? We have masoras we'll see in Siman Kuf Gimel according to the Mechaber. Ask the Shachas question. Does the Ramah disagree? Here? Does the Ramah disagree? No, right? Problem is, question of the Shach. The question of the Shach is that the Ramah disagrees with both reasons. How do we know he disagrees with both reasons? In Tzadi Hei Gimel, he says that this is called Nafarnas the Isura because it's touching Basar and Cholov simultaneously. This is a Machlokas Machaber Ramah. Over here, is this Nafarnas the Tera or Isura? The Ramah says Hetera. It came out of a fleshy pot. The Machaber says. Ramah says Isura, it's getting milk taste and meat taste at the same time. Milk and meat together is Isur. So therefore he should answer it. Ah, but it's still Tam Lufgan. And Kuf Gimel, does he say which Sif? Kuf Gimel Sif something. Sif Dalid says the Ramah that honey, sorry, meat in honey is tam l'shmach. He says meat and honey med and honey beer is tamlus gam. Meat and honey is tamlus shvach, says the Ramah. So hold on. It's the tamlus shvach of meat, and it's meat and milk touching it at the same time, so it's not bar nasi sur, so why doesn't the Ramah argue? What does the Shach answer in the end? The Shach answers, you know why the Ramah doesn't argue? He says because the answer is that with both reasons together, the Ramah is Mekel. This is Seiruf of Sodom Lahakel. The Ramah disagrees with both Sodom Lahakel individually. But what if you have two Sodom Lahakel at the same time? Right? If it was just relying on those Tamas Gam, the Ramah would say, I don't rely on that. If it's just relying on not for an outdated Tehra, the Ramah says, I don't rely on that. What if you have both at the same time? So if the Ramah says, I think both of those might be wrong, so I'm not going to be suffic against the first reason. I'm going to be suffic against the second reason. But if I have both reasons, then there's two sons of the Hakel, or value would call the six Eka. And therefore the Ramah says, one side of the Hakel I'm not willing to rely on, but two sons of the Hakel I can rely on. That makes sense, because in Kuf Gimel he said, B'mokum Hefsim Aruba, he'd rely on the Machaber. So like it is almost mutter. So if you add another reason, then the Ramah's willing to be Nekel, that's Pashup Shat, and why the Ramah doesn't argue here, like the Shach. Okay, we will now go to Chazara. And in 2 weeks, in Baruch Hashem, we will have a different. Thank you for your patience, Rabbi Rikas.